You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Friday, November 6th, 2020. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the new face of video games, Blessing Adeoye Jr.
What's up, Greg?
Not much. What's up with you?
I'm tired, man. It's been a week.
It has been a week. That is true.
We've had the floodgates open as far as like content that we've recorded throughout the week that we've had to hold because of embargoes and stuff. But now, like, Everybody gets the content, right? The content's out there. The millions of videos that it felt like we did over the course of the week are finally out and available.
If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, there is yet another PlayStation 5 embargo that has lifted. You can go right now to kindoffunny.com/PS5. Catch the PS I Love You XOXO review of the PlayStation 5. Catch the Gamescast review of Spider-Man Miles Morales. Catch the Gamescast review of Astro's Playroom. Catch my first time ever turning on my PlayStation 5 and walking you through it. Catch me trying to figure out if I can get PT to go on a PlayStation 5. And if you couldn't catch all that or you already caught all that, guess what? This afternoon, we are recording more embargoed content. Then tomorrow is Extra Life, and guess what's happening on Sunday? We are recording more embargoed content. And guess what's probably happening early in the week that I'm not thinking about right now? More embargoed content. It is that time of year. Yeah, you know, you're talking about being tired. And by the way, since I don't have specific plans, I guess, but while we're here, remember our PlayStation 5s were sent by PlayStation 4 review. I'll just disclose there in case we eventually get into it. Yeah, bless, you're talking about being tired. I was like, oh, yeah. And then I was like, wait, why are you tired? And then I forgot, of course, it's been a hellish week for everybody. But yeah, I've been cooking since 4:45. I've been up in the YouTube comments, putting things on playlists, putting tweets out, whoop, 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 drinking a lot of Busan. I went and got 8 donuts today.
Oh, man. And I should mention, too, that the Apex Legends update came out yesterday or the day before. I got to it last night, started playing it. And man, what a game. Like, that Apex Legends is a game that keeps on gaming, where like the constant the content never stops. There's a new map now, Olympus, and it looks really cool. And I made the mistake. Actually, you know what? I'm not gonna call it a mistake because I did it very purposely. I stayed up late last night playing that thing, and oh man, what a good time!
What, now that you're not playing? Are you playing on your PlayStation 5? I assume, right?
Yeah, I'm playing everything on my PlayStation 5 now.
So now that we can talk about this, what is your hours counted on Apex? Because, of course, the PlayStation 5 tracks your hours played in video games now for all the obsessive weirdos like us, which I know you are because you're watching and listening to this show. So now you can jump in there and actually see those numbers, which is always impressive.
Yeah,
which we turn on. I haven't checked DC Universe Online. I got to get in there and see what my final clock's at now.
I don't think my Apex Legends hour count is probably like super high compared to like some of the, like, Overwatch, I think I'm at 300 something hours, and then GTA 5 was the one where I was like, okay, yeah, like I'm at 500 something hours in that, but that also doesn't count my PS3 hours, which were also in the hundreds.
Yeah.
And so like I probably overall put around like, I imagine, 800 something hours into GTA 5.
Let me see. Well, here, while you look for that and look it up, let us get the show started proper, because ladies and gentlemen, there is no time to waste. It's a PlayStation 5 blowout. We're going to run you through reviews around the internet of what people are saying on top of what we're saying, and then we're going to answer some of your questions. There are a ton of delays we'll run you through as well, and then it looks like Fortnite may have found a way to weasel its way back onto iOS. We're going to cover all of this and more, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show at patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. You can give us your questions, your comments, your concerns, your squad up requests, and of course, you can get the show ad-free, and you can get it with the exclusive post show we do each and every weekday. Hold on, I'm fighting a sneeze. It's not going to get
me. Fight it. I'm at 233 hours in Apex Legends.
Damn, that's a good number.
Guess how many hours I'm in Ghost of Tsushima.
132.
I'm looking at it right now, and I can't believe it.
88.
Close. 95.
We're all close. If you have no bucks, toss our way at patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. No big deal. You can catch the show on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. You can catch it on Rooster Teeth. You can catch it on podcast services around the globe. each and every weekday. If you need it more immediate, you can watch it as we record it. Twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, just like Googs 9 is, PJ Julian is, and the Lou 55 are, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you are wrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody listening and watching later. Housekeeping for you. I alluded to it, but let's say it again. Extra Life is happening. Basically, it started. If you're watching this later, it's already going on, let's just say, because today on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames at 1 p.m., we will start hosting the community. The community will be streaming, obviously, for Extra Life, if you don't know. Extra Life is the annual fundraiser for the Children's Miracle Network Hospitals. Basically, you sign up. You'd say, I'm going to play video games and raise money for charity. You pick the hospital that's local to you, and then hopefully you join Team Kinda Funny and raise money under our moniker. We'll be hosting a whole bunch of Team Kinda Funny members as we kick off Extra Life weekend. And then tomorrow, Saturday at 10 a.m. Pacific time, the Kinda Funny proper stream starts, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We're going for a full 12-hour packed with a bunch of exclusives, a bunch of crazy stuff going on, a bunch of crossovers you probably didn't expect, like Greg Miller hosting the official Xbox Twitch. What?
Well,
I'll talk about that later. But yeah, great time. Extra Life's happening, so go over there. Remember, you can go to kindoffunny.com/extra life. As usual, that has now merged over into just being a donation link when you click on it. However, if you wanted to still join, you could click out of it and click on the team Kinda Funny and go do all that and join up on that stuff and have a great time. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Blackjack and Tom Bach. Again, we are jam-packed with news that revolves around the PlayStation 5. Remember, kindoffunny.com/PS5 for all our hands-on coverage. Today, we're brought to you by Quip and DoorDash, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. 9 items on the Roper Report.
Baker's dozen.
And I'll tell you what, if I wanted to, I could have broken them out individually because we're going to get to a whole bunch of delays and stuff. So strap in. This is going to be one of those shows. It's going to be 11:10. We're going to be like, all right, it's item eight. Roper Report. Let's start with number one. The PlayStation reviews are live. We have your roundup here. Remember, you can head over right now to kindoffunny.com/PS5. Catch the special episode of PS I Love You XOXO as Blessing and I for 2 hours talk about our impressions of the PlayStation 5. But let's check in with other people before we give you any more of our thoughts. Over at IGN, it got an 8 from Luke Riley. With a launch lineup dominated by games that are also available on PS4 and on the back of a generation already punctuated with incrementally more powerful hardware revisions like the PS4 Pro, the PS5 doesn't quite land as a knockout punch yet, but it's definitely got the power and speed to be a real contender. Parentheses, although the jury's still out on the stamina of that tiny 667GB SSD. However, while the PS5's well-considered UI and blistering quick loading times for PlayStation 5 games make it a pleasure to use, it's the DualSense controller that's proven to be the surprise haymaker I never saw coming. It truly leaves other controllers feeling primitive in comparison. Blessing Adeoye Jr.
Yes.
Agree or disagree?
I 100% agree. Like, the DualSense is the thing that, coming out of playing the PlayStation 5 for the last couple of weeks, it's the thing that is the most standout of my experience that I just didn't expect it to be. Like, I expected the haptic feedback to be cool or whatever. I expected the adaptive triggers to be cool or whatever, right?
Or whatever.
Like, those weren't really features that I was looking forward to as much. And actually getting my hand on it and playing Astro's Playroom for the first time, playing Spider-Man, seeing how that stuff factors into those games and other games, yeah. I'm actually really impressed with it. And I'm really looking forward to seeing how other games use the DualSense. And yeah, like the launch lineup, I think, is something to point out. That's kind of, I kind of disagree a little bit about how it doesn't feel like a knockout punch yet, because I do think the launch lineup is great. I think it is worth pointing out that
yesterday you declared on PS I Love You XOXO that it's the best PlayStation launch lineup of all time.
Yeah, and like, it's worth pointing out that, yeah, Miles Morales is on both consoles, right? I guess we can't talk about Bucks next, but like,
we know that it's on PlayStation 4 as well.
Yeah, it's on PlayStation 4. Like, a good majority of the games that are coming out for the PS5 launch lineup are on both the PS4 and PS5. I don't think that takes away the fact that Miles Morales plays and runs better on PS5, right? Like,
It's designed for the PlayStation 5.
Yeah, and I actually want to at some point try out Miles Morales for the PS4 to see, like, how it plays and how different it is and how different it looks, because playing it on the PS5 in performance mode, oh my God, I never want to go back. Like, I never want to, I never not I never want to not play a Spider-Man game this way going forward. And so, like, you know, that taken into consideration, Astro's Playroom taken into consideration, stuff that we're looking forward to. I was able to talk about the beginning hours of the Pathless yesterday on PSLW XOXO. Like, right. Very much looking forward to how that game pans out. Like, there's a lot to look forward to toward the launch of the PS5, let alone stuff like games like Cyberpunk, which are,
of course,
I keep forgetting that game got delayed to December, but, you know, it's on its way here, right? Like,
yeah,
I think it is as much of a knockout punch when you're talking about launch lineup as it needs to be, and way more of a knockout punch than any other PlayStation platform before it in terms of launch.
Well, I think what's interesting about Luke here, who's, you know, opinion obviously I respect and I'm not like fighting with, it's not a knockout punch yet. He's talking about the console as it is, I feel, right? And he's bringing up this stuff, but he's talking about there already being revisions and stuff. I still think that, even going off of what the PlayStation 4 Pro is, what am I allergic to today? It must be PlayStation. Off of like what the PlayStation 4 Pro is, like, just how night and day different this runs, how it's quiet, how fast it is, how fast loads are for PlayStation 5 games. Like, there's a lot going on here that we nerd out about in incredible detail on PS I Love You that really, for me, does think, like, I think this is a no-brainer of a System 4. But we got more reviews to read through, so don't burn it all right now. GameSpot put up a review. They didn't rate it, though, so it's unrated. Matt Padgett over there says, at launch, the PlayStation 5 is an excellent console that paves the way for a promising future where gaming experiences can evolve in interesting ways and the process of experiencing them is streamlined. Its custom SSD, unique DualSense controller, and powerful specs draw a distinct line between last generation and the next. Faster loading times and system features like the PS5's activities make the SSD feel essential, while the DualSense's substantial feedback makes a strong case for moving on from the DualShock 4. Of course, the performance and visuals that the PS5 is capable of pushing offer excellent experiences no matter what graphics mode you prefer, and even though its backwards compatibility implementation isn't perfect, it's still exciting to know that I can play most of my PS4 library on this new console with few, if any, issues. I even tested Guitar Hero Live, which works very well. Over at The Verge, it got an 8.5. Adam Webster wrote, physically, the PS5 is a brash, intimidating piece of hardware, one that is clearly meant to signal a major shift. But underneath its changes are more subtle, at least right now. This isn't the move from SD to HD, or watching Mario explore a 3D space for the very first time. Instead, it's a series of smaller... What is blowing in? What kind of pollen is doing this, Kevin?
If is I die, you
protect Bertillo.
Yeah, do you not have a Zyrtec?
Yeah, I got a Claritin. Hold on. Well, but I've never had an allergy attack happen like so profound.
Crunch it up real good and then put it under your tongue. It'll kick in faster.
Well, I should just move it like Nick tells me to, right?
Under his tongue?
Yeah, man.
How does that work, Kevin? Like, what's the science behind that?
It goes right into your blood. Right into your blood. If you're ever doing LSD, that's the way to go.
Huh. All right, that's enough of that. All right, Kevin. You convinced me to do LSD at one meet and greet. I got to hear about it the rest of my life. That's a joke. Don't do LSD. Instead, it's a series of smaller, though still important shifts, like faster speeds and a more immersive controller, which all add up to a markedly better experience compared to the PS4 by every conceivable metric, parentheses, aside from the space it takes up. I can't tell you what the future holds, but right now the PS5 is a great piece of hardware. It might not be clear what makes the PS5 interesting just from watching trailers or live streams, but once it's in your hands, the next generation is a lot more obvious. And I think Adam nails it, blessing, where I do think it's what we talked about with even talking about the DualSense and the haptics and the triggers, right? Where hearing about all that stuff leading up to it, I was like, yeah, there's been Rumble Forever, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Okay, what does the tension in a bow really mean? But then playing something like Astro, playing Spider-Man with that, feeling it and getting those immersive sensations out of it, I thought really took it to another level.
Yeah, no, I expect in future generations to come, haptic to become the norm, right? Like, because it is such a cool experience compared to Rumble on previous controllers. Like, it is something that I do not want to go back from after having experienced it. And yeah, like, I think Adam nails it in so much of what he's saying, like, in terms of once you have it in your hands, the next generation is much more obvious. Like, leading up to this point, I've been excited for the PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X, but I've not really been sold on the idea that this is a big jump, or this is a thing that needs to happen now. Like, we had the discussions on previous shows about should they delay the next generation because of COVID and because of games being delayed and all this different stuff that seems to be out of their hands. And I've been of the mind that, like, yeah, just delay it, because is there a reason for this thing to come out this fall that is going to really blow me away and sell me on why Next Generation needs to be a thing right now? Like, it, not having Halo Infinite, not having quite a few games, not having something that feels like it is, like, not having a reason for me to show up, really, right? Like, I didn't have the reason to feel like this is the thing I need right now. After having it in my hands for the last 2 weeks, I am sold on Next Generation. I am sold on the PlayStation 5. I'm sold on why I want to be playing this thing. Because, like, again, like, I go back to the examples of Spider-Man Miles Morales and Astro's Playroom, and, like, Miles Morales playing that thing in performance mode is an amazing experience. Playing through Astro's Playroom is a convincing argument for why the new features of the PS5 are dope, right? And it does feel like this ushering in of, hey, this is what the new next generation is, whether it is the SSD, whether it is the ray tracing, whether it is the DualSense, like, all that stuff in conjunction with each other is really cool, really awesome. And I can't wait for, like, what the next, I guess, 3-4 years are until we get, like, the next, like, iterative revision PS5 Pro. Yeah.
Kevin, what is Next Generation all about?
It's convenience, bro.
And I think that's, you know, at the core of this, where we could have gone longer without PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X, but using the PlayStation 5 as my primary console now for 2 straight weeks, it is the convenience of everything. It is how fast it loads. It is getting better internet speeds out of it. It is, you know, going to my game library and seeing all my PS5 stuff and all my PlayStation 4 stuff and having it all there and having it download way quicker and just be able to get in and out of things so quickly, right? I know it's the thing we seem to bang the drum the loudest about in terms of load times, but from the game being off to being in New York and swinging around to Spider-Man, 18 seconds. 18 seconds from hitting, yes, play this game, to actually being in the world and playing that game. And it looks beautiful and it's stunning. And when you fast travel, it's instant. You hit, say, it, yeah. Thing fills, you hold down X, it fills in, and then boom, you're walking out of a subway. Like, that's incredible. That is what we want out of these experiences and what we want out of Next Gen right now.
Yeah. No, I absolutely love that.
Now, the reviews, and this is, I'm painting with a broad brush, of course, are positive. It looks like everybody's high on the PlayStation 5. Of course, everybody has critiques and criticisms. You know, Blessing, you and I had a bunch on PS I Love You. At the top of it, for me, obviously, the fact that there is no quick resume. There is no answer to Xbox's quick resume. However, everybody comes at it with their own thing and has their own little discovery moments. Let's get into some of those that have happened already since we've put up our review and now other people are talking or sharing experiences. Number two, you can't store PlayStation 5 games on an external hard drive. This is Shannon Grixty at Press Start. One of the more surprising things that I found when reviewing the PlayStation 5 is that it doesn't seem to support external hard drives for PS5 games. It was already confirmed that the internal SSD wouldn't be working at launch, parentheses, which I found... which I found out after trying a Samsung 980 Pro myself. This is, of course, the expandable storage they talked about. When plugging in an external hard drive to the PS5, it's made pretty clear that you can't store PS5 games on an external, with phrases such as, quote, you can install PS4 games to extend storage and play them directly from there, end quote. At no point is it ever mentioned that you can store PS5 games on an external hard drive. When trying to move games to the external hard drive that I had plugged in, only PS4 games showed up, which was consistent with that initial message. One saving grace is that you can automatically set the PS5 to install PS4 games on an external hard drive, so that's pretty handy. Blessing, this one caught me off guard. Yesterday, during our recording of the PS I Love You review, I said definitively, oh yeah, and you can't play PS5 games off the external hard drive, you can't play PS4 games off of it, but you can store your games there and move them back and forth. And I don't know if that's something I dreamed, but I felt like...
Is that an Xbox Series X thing then?
Because It is. It seems like that's what's getting kicked around today, but I granted this has been such a weird... I mean, first off, I fucked up. I'm wrong about it. But I took comfort of the fact that other people's reviews fucked it up too. IGN, their review says it, and then they had to cross it out and put a correction in there. I don't know. Yeah, if it was just an Xbox thing and we all assumed it was going to work, or if somebody said that at some point and we all were like, oh, that makes sense and believed it, because it's been such a weird rollout of a news cycle since we can't go play this thing, we can't go to an event. But I was super shocked by this today.
I was also very shocked. When I woke up and read this, I was like, wait, are you for real? Then, because this is one of the complaints that I brought, if you listen to our episode of PS Love You XOXO. Like, one of my main complaints is the fact that there just isn't enough storage space in the PS5. And with them not supporting expanded SSD storage at launch. The one saving grace for that thing is the fact that in my head, I was like, okay, well, I guess I can store my games on my external hard drive and have that be a thing where I'm transferring games back and forth. That removed from the equation makes this specific thing ridiculous in terms of the storage space. Like,
yeah, not having
that is
ready
not
to
okay
go.
To me.
Yeah.
I like that. Especially when we get into the conversation of how big games are nowadays, right? And I know Call of Duty is the example we keep going to because Call of Duty is egregious, but like, yeah, like you can hold 4 Call of Duties in your PlayStation 5, and that's about it in terms of games. And like, not all games are Call of Duty, obviously, right? Like, if you're getting a AAA game, you can probably expect it to be probably around like 50 gigs, 70 gigs, somewhere in that range, 30 gigs if you're lucky. But like, yeah, if you're storing big games on this thing, right? If you are the kind of person that is playing Call of Duty, Red Dead Redemption, I forget how big Final Fantasy VII Remake was, but I feel like that one was big too because it came in 2 discs, right? I'm not crazy.
Remake?
Chat, let me know. Remake, yeah, that came out this last year.
Right? And on PlayStation was 1 disc, wasn't it? Or was it 2 there too? I doubt
it. Didn't come out on Xbox. Right?
Right. Good call. I thought, yeah. Okay, well.
Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong.
No. Deadly Sin 12 says it did have 2 discs.
Yeah. And I assume the storage space for that game is pretty big. Like, I don't know. It's unfortunate to me that they don't have any option for storage expansion at launch. That feels like a huge miss. I hope they fix that sooner than later. That's something that in my mind, they have to fix within coming months. Like, I feel like that has to be a focus for them.
Yeah. And I think, again, I'm wrong. And obviously, a whole bunch of us were wrong that you could do this, that you could store your PlayStation 5 games and take them back and forth. And, you know, the thing, I talked a little bit about it on Reddit or the YouTube comments today, or maybe both, of just like, oh, it was Reddit, because people were like, wait, I'm confused because IGN's saying you can, but GameSpot's saying you can't. And then Greg said this, and somebody was in there like, I bet it was just that IGN assumed you could because that's what we've heard before. And that's where I was like, that's exactly what happened to me, is that, you know, everybody tests things differently. You don't come to Kinda Funny for us to be like, here's where we took it and what the frame rate is, and here's the hard, like, you're here to hear if we like the games and what we think of the trophies, right? So you have those other people coming out and doing those kind of tests, and it's very much is, you know, you move from, I think, being a big outlet like we were at IGN when we worked there, to being our smaller thing where we can do our own thing and have a laser focus on who we are and what defines us. You see your own personal use case rise to the top so much. And so my personal use case is what I've talked about on other shows, right? I have bomb ass internet. My data cap doesn't exist, so whatever. You know what I mean? I download stuff all the time thinking I'll play it and then delete it. And then months later, download it again and then maybe play it or don't. And like, I move around that way and it doesn't matter for me, but I totally understand somebody else not being in that situation. You have shitty internet. You do download this stuff and you just want, you know, it takes a weekend to download a game or overnight to download a game. You clearly want to be able to not have to delete that, to be able to move it to the external hard drive, move it back. Maybe you would be ready to go pay for, you know, the expandable memory, but it's crazy that you can't do this. You can't just transfer it over to the hard drive and then transfer it back when you want to play it. And then Sony doesn't have an answer for this. That's what's mind-boggling about it, is that I feel like clearly they've heard people wrong about this. They've heard us be wrong about this before. We've talked about this. Oh, you can store it on an external hard drive. You just can't play it off of it. I'm surprised that it hasn't been corrected, but then you partner that up with the fact that it was, you know, yesterday, right? Or 2 days ago, when they were like, hey, yeah, the expandable memory is not going to be available at launch either. Like, that's fucked up. And then you look at the Series X where it's like, yeah, they got the Seagate thing ready to go. Plug and play. Bam. You know, $220 ready to go, or use your external that way.
I've been not too high on how Series X has gone about it either, because it is proprietary, but like, at the very least, like, they have something. Like, at the very least, you have an option at launch. Even 100%. If the option from PlayStation was a proprietary thing of, hey, we are selling our own, but down the line we're going to approve third-party expansion for your console, like, that would have been fine with me too. At least it's something. The fact that they don't have anything for what you're saying in terms of like use cases in the US, that is, I'm pretty sure that's the use case for most people in terms of either having data caps or, you know, like me and you, we play video games all the time, and like, our priority is our gaming experience. And so I have, at this right now, I have my PS5 hooked up to an Ethernet cord, right? So I'm plugged in directly. I have no data cap because me and Michael opted for that because we knew we were going to be working from home and all this stuff. We didn't want to have to deal with all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
Most people have data caps. I assume most people that are playing PlayStation or playing most people that have consoles in general are probably hooked up through Wi-Fi. Like, it is the use case for most people with this, I assume, is going to be a struggle in terms of storage management. And like, we're already used to deleting stuff and reinstalling stuff. Like, that's not a foreign thing to us for the last couple of generations. And so, sure. Like, I don't think there's going to be a huge backlash or anything about it. But the fact that we're here and the fact that it feels like options are being, jumping into this new generation, options are being taken away from us. Like, this is kind of what I talked about a little bit yesterday when it came to the folders thing, which is way less of an egregious example, right? The fact that you don't have folders on the PS5. Yeah. It's like, okay, cool. Like, I'm like, that's ridiculous, but it's not the end of the world. Like, I can live very easily without folders. The fact that this expansion thing is taking place, I'm like, it feels like it's going to miss.
Yeah, it's another thing that I think you and me can live without, but then it is extrapolating it out to the other users. And it is that thing of like how fast your hard drive is going to fill up when it is. Cool, yeah, you're getting Miles and you're getting Sackboy and you know you're going to play Demon's Souls. I've seen people in the chat be like, is this really an issue? It's like, okay, sure, you're thinking of the three launch games you're going to use in your PlayStation 5, but then what about Fortnite and what about Warzone and what about all these other experiences you're going to load up? And again, maybe that's not you at all. You don't have to worry about that. Other gamers do. And again, you could be putting those backwards compatible things to an external drive, but it's just that other, I guess, level of confusion right now as everybody figures this out. And this is a weird thing not to have and just have it in between.
Yeah.
In terms of, you know, go ahead.
Without having an expansion without having my external drive plugged into my PS5, I've already filled up my PS5. Like, I've already had to do the thing of like managing storage and figuring out, all right, what game how likely am I going to play Genshin Impact on my PS5 and like making that decision. I can't imagine people who either don't have external storage or people who are going to have to essentially figure, like, it's not going to be that long until we have enough PS5 games that like fill up your drive. Like, even individually as players, like in terms of buying games, like it's probably gonna take 6 months for me to have enough games that I'll probably have in rotation that fill up my storage drive. Like, it doesn't take that long.
Yeah, and I think that's the, you know, again, when there is Fortnite PlayStation 5 edition, there you go. Like, you can't even argue that, well, you can put the PlayStation 4 version of Fortnite on the external drive and play that way. Like, there's all these concessions you need to make and figure out. It's just a weird thing, I think, that at launch, it isn't there, and they didn't have this messaging ready to go ahead of time.
Yeah, and I'm looking, I ended up looking it up. Final Fantasy VII Remake is 100 gigabytes. So again, like, about six of those you can fit in your PS5.
Give me them. What is going on?
You got to close that window.
They're closed now.
Oh, God.
But so, I don't know what the hell.
No.
Blew through the house that I am now just dying whatever came in through the window, because literally I've been at this desk since 4:45 in the morning doing stuff, windows open, not a problem, literally sat down and a breeze came through and I'm just dying all of a sudden.
Oh god.
Oh goodness. All right, so number three on the Roper Report, more bad news. You can, weird stuff that I overlooked, you can't put PS5 saves on a USB. This is Austin Goslin over at Polygon. At the moment, the PlayStation 5 doesn't support copying save data onto external devices. Instead, the console's only option for moving save files from one PS5 to another, or backing up save data, is to use Sony's cloud storage, which is available exclusively to PlayStation Plus subscribers. This is different than how it works on the PlayStation 4, which allows users to back up their save data to a USB drive as well as cloud storage. Without that option, PS5 owners are at risk of losing their save files if some catastrophe befalls them, like their console getting stolen in a robbery or destroyed in a flood or bricked by a firmware update, unless they pay for an active PlayStation Plus subscription. The PS4 PS5 difference becomes clear in the PS5's system settings. In the save data and game/app settings page of the menu, there's a section labeled Save Data PS4. There, players can choose to copy PS4 save files to a USB drive or Sony's cloud storage, or delete those files from the console. The other option is to change the way that the PS5 handles the automatic upload of PS4 save data to the cloud storage. However, the Save Data PS5 menu lacks the USB drive option. Instead, the only things to do with PS5 save files are to manually copy them from the console's internal storage to Sony's cloud storage, or to delete them. Another weird minutia that I'm like, wait, why? Why would you do this?
I don't understand why you would make this move. Like that's the thing I've been trying to break down in my mind is like, what is the reason for this? Because now it just feels like you're taking away functionality for the sake of taking away functionality. And for this one specifically, it's unfortunate because now you're telling me that, hey, if you want to back up your saves or if you want to be in the place where you're safe with your saves, you have to subscribe to PS Plus. That feels like they're nickel and diming me in a way that I don't like, in a way that feels unnecessary. It's not like the worst. It's not the worst news. Like, it's not the end of the world in terms of what this is, but it feels randomly unfortunate, if that makes sense. Like, I don't understand why it's here, and like the fact that it's here is making me go like, why is this the case?
Yeah, it's a weird choice on that front that I didn't see. Obviously, I use cloud storage as well, but I have used the USB drive function a ton of times, and so to not have it there, you're like, wait, why would you do that? What would go on here? I don't understand. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm right there with you. And again, like I don't think about it too much because I have PS Plus and I use cloud storage, and like I let that take care of it for me. And everybody should use that if you have the option to, because it is great, right? You get the peace of mind. You don't have to think about plugging in a USB and all that stuff. But it does feel like you're leaving people without an option with that.
I see people in the chat going, you're wrong. And then Nanobiologist writes in, Sony announced before that you can put PS4 save games on a USB drive and transfer them to the PS5. That is not what we're talking about. Again, remember, we're talking about you can't take a PlayStation 5 save for like Miles Morales, which is a bad example because Astro's Playroom, and put that onto a USB. You can only back up that save via the PlayStation Cloud. So let me know what you're talking about then, where there's a you're wrong, because obviously, oh no, Nano just goes, got it. No, okay, cool. Yeah, we're all on the same page now. Oh yeah, weird functionality to take away, something I imagine they'll patch back in, but I don't know why. And people are saying, oh, security and all this other stuff. Sure, but do we care that much about you hacking the save file or whatever? Like, no, like, but it's already working on PlayStation 4, and how some people, I'm sure, back up all their stuff. Why not let it be that way? I digress. Yeah. Another one here. I want to give a shout out, of course, to something I forgot to mention in our PlayStation 5 review as an annoyance. One of the few that I had. But Jeff Gerstmann tweeted today, special glaring stare of disbelief to whoever decided to remove the upload download cloud saves menu option from the game's tiles.
Yeah.
Yeah. I
texted you about that like day one, where I had the fear where I was like, wait. So do cloud saves on PS4 not work on PS5? And it is, no, you have to go into settings and then go into saves or storage, whatever it is, and then like upload all your saves the way you would. But like, yeah, this is again what I've been talking about, like what I mentioned in PS Love You XOXO, where it's like, why are you removing random functionality? Why are you like taking things away that like worked fine for the sake of, I don't know, like I don't see the rhyme or reason why they're making the specific decisions they're making in terms of some of the UI stuff. Like overall, I guess it's more speedy, and maybe they're doing it just to make things more snappy and more clean and more simple. But it feels like they're also at the same time sacrificing.
Yeah, but that option button on the tiles, you can already get information. They should just put it there. Upload, download, definitely save, make it easy. Now, if you want yet another wrinkle to the PlayStation 5, as we all keep peeling back the layers of this onion, number four, let's talk about PT's strange PlayStation 5 journey. We're going to be reading from Polygon, where Michael McWhorter had this to say. Now, before I even get into that, you can go to kindoffunny.com/PS5 and see me valiantly try to get the PT demo from my PlayStation 4 to my PlayStation 5. I fail, and then this morning, it got weirder. So here we go. Kojima Productions' playable teaser for its canceled Silent Hill reboot horror game, PT, is a precious commodity to many PlayStation 4 owners. After Hideo Kojima's departure from Konami and Silent Hill's cancelization, PT was removed from Sony's PlayStation Store. If you didn't already have it, you were pretty much out of luck. The bad news for prospective PlayStation 5 owners is that your existing download of PT cannot be transferred over to Sony's new console, nor is the game playable through backward compatibility. Here's the strange thing, though. At one point over the past 2 weeks, it was both transferable and playable on PS5. I played PT on my PS5 in late October, the day after I received my review unit. But it appears that when the PlayStation 5 launches on November 12th, it won't play PT through backward compatibility. PT was the first PS4 title I tested through backward compatibility on PS5. On October 24th, I transferred my copy of PT 2 and played the game on my PS5, picking up from a recent save that carried over from PS4. Then, I restarted PT from the beginning and played through it a bit more. It seemed to work fine. But in the days leading up to Sony's PS5 review embargo, the situation changed. PT is now listed as playable on PS4 title, meaning it can't be played on PS5. And after being forced to do a factory reset on my PS5 review unit this week, which deleted all game contents from the system, I learned I was no longer able to transfer PT to my PS4 or from my PS4 to my PS5. My colleague Russ still has his transferred copy of PT sitting on his PS5 SSD. When it was playable, PT appeared to perform on PS5 just as it did on PS4. I did not complete the full playthrough of the demo, but I experienced no noticeable issues during the 10 minutes which I tested the game. Sony had previously warned that some content, including game demos, which would encompass PT, might not be compatible on the new console. The playable teaser for Silent Hills does not appear on the list of unsupported titles on Sony's PS5 backwards compatibility support page. Reach for Comment, a Sony spokesperson, told Polygon that the change to PT's backward compatibility on PS5 was, quote, a publisher decision, end quote. Fuck you, Konami. God damn it.
This doesn't surprise me. It feels like at every step, Konami has tried to make us forget about PT and make it so that that game just doesn't stop seeing the light of day. You know, and part of me gets it because you went through a bad breakup and like you want people to forget that this masterpiece of a thing exists. Yeah. All that stuff. I kind of get it from that aspect, but like from a person that likes video games point of view or standpoint, and then also like a game preservation standpoint, it's like just let people play PT. Like people really like it. You know, like you own PT, use it for clout. Like use it to kind of gain back some, I guess, fan support,
goodwill,
right? Like,
goodwill.
Like, let people play it. Let people re-download it. Load it. Let people do all that stuff. Maybe there's some conflict there in terms of, what's his name? Walking Dead, Death Stranding
Norman
character. Well, yeah, maybe there's like some weirdness with like you have Norman Reedus's character in there towards the end of it with the actual teaser part of the playable
Fuck
teaser
off.
And stuff.
I mean, like, all this is like just them wanting us to forget about it. And they keep trying to make it not a thing, which makes it more of a thing. If they would have done nothing, all right, you already took it off the PSN for PlayStation 4, fine. I know there's workarounds, but for argument's sake, they took it down, right? Just leave it so, yeah, if you have it, you can transfer it over and you have it. And then it would have been like, oh, PC still works on the PlayStation 5. And everybody would have gone like, oh, cool. And that would have been the end of it. Now we're here again going, like, how fucking petty can you be, Konami? Just let the fucking, like, now, and again, to be clear, it worked. It worked early. If I would have, I did my test yesterday and recorded my video yesterday, right? Or maybe today's Friday, so maybe Wednesday. If I would have done it in the first week, I would have had it on the system and then it would have been deactivated. Or I'm like, come on. Like, there are videos up. I forget. If you go to my video version on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, in the comments, I respond with, the other video that I saw first this morning that is somebody being like, hey, here's footage of me playing it and here's me not able to play it anymore. It's just gone off my system. Like, come on.
I wonder if both systems were offline, like if you got the PS5 and you set it up offline and like you turned your PS4 offline and try to transfer it that way.
Yeah.
I wonder if it would still work. I wonder if it's like immediately once you connect to the internet, which everybody's going to do with their PS5. Once you connect to the internet, then it deactivates. Because I can see a case where like you get a PS, you buy two PS5s, one just to be your PT PS5, let that thing sit for 7 years, sell that thing for millions of dollars.
Millions of dollars. That's PS5. How you retire.
Then you retire, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's the way you do it. Ladies and gentlemen, we have still more PlayStation 5 review roundups and news to get through. But before we do that, let me tell you about our sponsors. Remember, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames to get each and every episode ad-free. And speaking of ads, let's talk about Quip. There are only two types of people in this world. Those of us who brush and floss every day, and those who might just start, thanks to Quip's new refillable floss pack. You know Quip, the electric toothbrush you hear about all the time on this show, because I use it all the time, and I use the Bluetooth one that gives me the rewards. But it's their sleek, reusable floss pick that you'll want to use next. The durable handle is easy to guide, restrings with a click, and comes with a compact mirror dispenser case for on the go. Plus, a single refill pod replaces over 180 single-use plastic flossers. So it's better for your teeth and the environment. Pair your floss with the perfect electric toothbrush for adults and kids. Quip has made simple guiding features you need, like the time sonic vibrations and guiding pulses to help you brush better. And now you can get amazing rewards just for brushing better every day. Quip also delivers brush heads, floss, and toothpaste refills every 3 months from $5. Shipping is free, so you can save money and skip the store. Bring delight to your everyday brushing and join over 5 million mouths brushing with Quip, starting at just $25. And if you go to getquip.com/games right now, you'll get your first refill for free. That's your first refill free at getquip.com/games, getquip.com/games. Up next is DoorDash. Between never-ending laundry cycles and incoming emails, you've got plenty on your to-do list. Give yourself one less thing to worry about and let DoorDash take care of your next meal. DoorDash is the app that brings you food you're craving right now, right to your door. Ordering is easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with a new contactless delivery drop-off setting. With over 300,000 partners in the U.S., Puerto Rico, Canada, and Australia, you can support your local go-tos or choose from your favorite national chains like Chipotle, Wendy's, and the Cheesecake Factory. Many of your favorite local restaurants are still open for delivery. Just open the DoorDash app, select your favorite restaurant, and your food will be left at your door. DoorDash deliveries are now contactless to keep communities we operate in safe. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees in the first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter the code GAMES. That's $5 off your and zero delivery fees on your first order. And why do they have the other your in there? You know what I mean?
Every time I copy over the ad, it has that typo in there. And I have to remember to get it out.
I usually flub it, or I don't flub it. I usually try to autocorrect. And then today I was like, let's commit and see if it actually makes sense. It didn't make sense. That's $5 off and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and use the code GAMES. Don't forget, code GAMES for $5 off your first order with DoorDash. Almost used it today to get bacon for breakfast, but was up too early, which was a heartbreaker.
Exactly.
Number five on the Roper Report. Spider-Man Miles Morales reviews are up. We have your roundup. It has an 84 on Metacritic as of 6:15 in the morning. That's how early I was working on Kind of Funny Games Daily today. I doubt it's changed too much. IGN.com gave it a 9.0. Jonathan Dornbush Beyond says, Marvel's Spider-Man Miles Morales may not be quite as packed with content as the original, but it still stands out as an essential story in Insomniac's Spidey universe. It earns its spot as a fantastic follow-up, telling a wonderful Miles-specific story while improving upon the fundamentals of the first game with distinctive moves and enemies. And it's an excellent way to break in your new PlayStation 5. It looks spectacular, loads fast, and makes fun use of the DualSense controller, the directional audio, and more. But regardless of which generation you play it on, it's a worthy follow-up to one of the best superhero games ever made. Then Game Informer gave it a 9. Andrew Reiner over there wrote, the new Spider-Man's adventure is shorter and more focused, but it's still an exhilarating blast. On the lower end of the spectrum, GameSpot gave it a 7. Jordan Rame wrote, like I said at the top of this review, Spider-Man Miles Morales feels a lot like a missing chapter to 2018 Spider-Man. The gameplay is so similar and the environment is largely the same. It's the characters, especially Genki and the Tinkerer, and the story that it tells that Spider-Man Miles Morales manages to break free of what's been done already to deliver something you'll want to see all the way through. It's a bit of a bummer to see Marvel's Spider-Man Miles Morales trip up at certain points, but thankfully that doesn't happen often. The game wastes little time jumping you into Miles' story and rarely lets up on the brakes, packing the young wall crawler's first solo outing with more superpowers and radio chatter than the game needs. And yet, despite its frantic pace, Spider-Man Miles Morales is a compelling open-world action game that helps highlight why Miles is so special, his culture. It's Miles's unique differences and earnest attempts at figuring out how to protect his community that make him into such a wonderful hero. Not the mask he wears and the superpowers he wields. Blessing, as we've said multiple times, of course, kindoffunny.com/PS5 to get all of our hands on and reviews. We have a Miles Morales review up right there. How are you feeling? Are you in agreement with the reviews you've seen today?
Yeah, no, I for all the reviews I've seen and checked out, I kind of hear where they're all coming from. I probably sit somewhere between Jordan, you know, at GameSpot, who gave it a 7, and yeah. also the outlets that gave it a 9. Like, it is an excellent game, and the way I kind of summed it up in my tweet is saying, like, it for me, it lives in the shadow of both Spider-Man 2018 and Spider-Man Miles Morales. Mm-hmm. But like on its own merits, it is a great game. Like, it is what you want. It is more Spider-Man. It is as fun as Spider-Man 2018. You know, there's some story moments that kind of I felt like they didn't land as well. Like there are certain parts of Miles Morales that weren't as impactful for me as 2018. But overall, like I still love those characters. I still liked a lot of what they did. Jordan in his review pointed out Miles's culture and basically the man beneath the mask, and I thought they did a fantastic job highlighting Miles as a character just beyond his Spider-Man persona. Yeah. So yeah, like I hear where pretty much all these reviews are coming from, and I kind of sit in the middle of all of them.
Yeah, to, you know, give a synopsis of mine, of course, please go watch or listen. It's the new game, one of the new games cast, because there's obviously Astro as well. I love this game. I think it's better pound for pound than Spider-Man PS4, but it's cheating because it's learning from everything Spider-Man PS4 didn't even do wrong, because Spider-Man PS4 was so good, but it improves and evolves and does all that things. And I think Miles is fantastic. I think it's Najee Jeter, right? I think he does such an amazing job being him and giving him range and all these amazing things that I can't recommend it enough. I do want to toss in here what I like to call a segment, required reading. Of course, you know, we tell you when there's something cool out there to go do. Geeta Jackson over at Vice.com did a review of Spider-Man Miles Morales, and I think it's fascinating. Geeta, of course, a person of color and living in New York, talking about the disconnect of Miles's story and some of the themes it's playing with, but not committing to it, right? There's a Black Lives Matter painting in Harlem in this game. Like, they're Insomniac's clearly including that message, but not going all the way home with it in terms of what it's like to have you know, the influence of the NYPD and cops in New York and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So I can't recommend that enough over at Vice.com. The tweet synopsis, right, that Geeta put up, it goes like this: Miles Morales is a good video game, but while it recreates the material reality of New York with slavish devotion, it doesn't come close to representing the emotional reality of living here in this moment. And then there's a thread here that I think goes on really well, but again, the piece overall, I would direct you to Vice.com to go read that, their Spider-Man Miles Morales PlayStation 5 review from Geeta. I think it's one of those things that, you know, you talk about some of the story decisions not working for you, Bless, or whatever, and I agree of, like, yeah, I think you put it so well in our review, like, conversations would end these if you ever even take a breath and do it, but
like everybody took a breath and took a step back. I feel like the game could have gone a different direction.
But a lot of times in our real world, I feel like that's the actual thing. And I think, again, Geeta sums that up really well, of like, the plot walks down an extremely well-trod path and offers little in the way of surprises. It's truly wholesome, feel-good superhero writing, which I 100% back. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the reasons I think I like it so much, probably. And I understand that it could be more. It's the classic Tim Geddes on a review of like, sure, but it could be that much more than that. But
yeah,
I also thought Spider-Man PS4 was, you know, well-trotted territory.
Yeah. And I also sit in a similar place as Geeta in that idea of like the Tim Geddes, like it could be more kind of thing, where I remember playing Spider-Man 2018 and coming out of it and having conversations with friends, right, who were like, yeah, like it's cool, but also, man, Spider-Man works with the police a lot and the NYP, and like in the real world, right? Like, we're kind of dealing with a lot of ideas of how to reform police, and how can police do better, and how can we change things, because we're in a place right now where a lot of people of color are not being treated the right way by police. And so going into Miles Morales, I was kind of wondering, like, all right, are they going to address that? Are we going to have another I forget what he calls himself in
Spider-Cop?
Yeah, are we going to have like more Spider-Cop, or like how are they going to address that? And I feel like they kind of didn't address it. And like, part of that is, it is this lighthearted, you know, fun, colorful superhero story that kind of doesn't take itself seriously, which kind of brings me back to that place of, yeah, but what if? Like, what if they did more? What if they went all the way and kind of and tried to address that stuff in a way that was meaningful for who Miles' character is and what's going down in Harlem?
And this is why I'm tossing Geeta's writing out there and her review out there, because she goes into such extreme depth with that and does such a great job, I think, as somebody, for me personally, right, who's never lived in New York and, of course, is a 37-year-old white doofus or whatever, like, for her to go back and forth between this is, it's so much more than a review. I think it's a great op-ed, right, and it's a great perspective piece of going back from, hey, here's what Spider-Man and Miles' story is representing and doing, and that's great, but then to tiptoe up to the line of Black Lives Matter, they never get on the other side of it of like, well, the cops are a big part of that. And some of the cops you pass, them not trusting Spider-Man, right? And not trust, like, they never explore that. And, you know, even the Harlem's eventual embracing of like, oh, this is our Spider-Man. They're referring to it being a Black Spider-Man, that it being a Spider-Man from their neighborhood, that it representing something in a downtrodden people, and the references to the that Harlem's getting gentrified when Gita's like, it's been gentrified. That's over. That's that ended when Bill Clinton got an office. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's a really fascinating read of what Marvel Comics is so good at of, hey, our heroes exist in the real world, but then this still very much being a, like you said, Blessing, colorful, bright, positive New York, positive Harlem. And not that that doesn't exist in real New York and Harlem, but at a time where it is so juxtaposed.
Yeah, and I'm seeing some folks in chat say that, like, it's kind of hard for them to cover that since the game was well in development before the events of this year really brought that stuff to light. And to be very clear, that stuff has always been around. Like, that's not, like, a new thing, right? That, like,
I'm pretty sure it's a 2020 thing, racism and the NYPD being a problem.
Like, that was a critique when Spider-Man 2018 came out. Like, there are articles coming out around that time about how, like, and I saw somebody else in chat being saying that, like, I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing for Spider-Man to be working with the police. And that's not even necessarily what I'm saying either, right? There is a realistic way, I think, that they could address this stuff where it is shined in more of a realistic light than a, let's pretend that none of this is going on, right? Let's pretend like there isn't this weird relationship between Black folks and police. Let's pretend that, like, let's have Miles's mom be a politician, but none of this stuff get addressed. Like, there are weird things like that I feel like could be done better for this game. That, like, this game's like this game's rated what, T for teen? Like, they say cuss words in this game. Like, if they could do that, then I think they can have some realistic portrayal in terms of, hey, this is what a Black Spider-Man who is kind of working in conjunction with police in terms of stopping crimes and doing all this stuff. This is how he would view police, or this is how he would exist alongside them. And there's just none of that.
Yeah, if I can jump in, and again, I obviously don't have the firsthand knowledge of so much of this, right? But I think it's not so much that what I love about Gita's piece is that she's not damning the game for this. She's not saying this game sucks because she's like, it's a great game for all intents and purposes. But it's an interesting thought piece of, like, they get to this point. They keep getting to the edge of the diving board and talking about real societal problems, but then never identifying what the enemy is. And that's, of course, to the people's point of, like, should it really address that? That's, of course, within Insomniac's right to have their New York be a positive, shining, everybody's happy, unless you're a criminal and your Spider-Man's out to stop you. You can do that, but then there's also then a great chance for, I think, criticism and discussion of, like, cool, you made some great moves here. It's awesome to see this Black Lives Matter thing. And not only, no, it's not spoilers, like, if you do all the side missions, you end there. Like, there's a mission that ends you there. Like, this isn't like an Easter egg. This is very much like, boom, you are in front of it. Black Lives Matter. You're Spider-Man. And that's a great message to see portrayed. But again, then you are going to have criticism, rightfully so, of like, cool, but let's really examine the other ways that could have been done. That's a great message. That's a great screenshot. That's a great thing to get in front of people. And again, as I talk about it in our review, like, I love that Harlem is a character, and I love that there's so many NPC characters that are introduced here, that their either disability, if we're talking about Haley, or their race, or their sexual preference, these are all introduced as elements of them, but it's never defining them. It's never, oh, I'm going to go talk to that deaf street artist. Oh, I'm going to go talk to that lesbian. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, that's not, it's never used that way. It's used in a way to show, like, no, this is a diverse place and there are all these different people to it. And that, again, is great. And Insomniac, I think, should be applauded for that. But it is this question of what is also, especially, and I remember this from 2018. What do you do when, there's somebody like Gita, somebody who knows New York, somebody who understands the history of the NYPD in a way I do not. what do you do when you see Spider-Man being working so closely with the police, and again, it never being addressed? It's okay that it isn't, but also it could be so much more. Like, and what is that line? And is it always going to be, which again is totally Marvel's right or Insomniac's right or whatever, is it always going to be this, hey, hunky-dory New York, or do they want to try that and play with that one day?
Yeah.
Number six on the Roper Report. Astros Playroom review roundup. Of course, our review is up. Kindoffunny.com/PS5. Right now, Astros Playroom has a Metacritic of 82. This is at 6:20 in the morning. Push Square gave it a 9. Sammy Barker wrote, Astros Playroom is deserving of every single superlative you're likely to hear associated with it. As a platformer, it's a varied and entertaining experience that's constantly introducing new and exciting ideas over the course of its campaign. And as a DualSense tech demo, it's similarly effective at showcasing the power and potential of Sony's new hardware. But perhaps above all, this is a love letter to the legacy of PlayStation. And it feels fitting that as we enter this exciting new chapter from an undeniably iconic gaming brand, we take a moment to remember the milestones that got us to this point. Over on IGN, Jonathan Dornbush again gave it an 8. Says, Astro's Playroom surprised and delighted me. This PS5 pack-in most certainly hews closer to a technical showcase, essentially a loosely structured sandbox to mess around in and discover what the PS5 has to offer. But it has enough collectibles, creative ideas, and genuinely exciting uses of the DualSense that PS5 owners shouldn't brush this off. Shouldn't brush this one aside in the launch lineup. After months and months of hearing how the DualSense would immerse me like never before, Astro's Playroom put promises into practice and impressively proved what's possible with the PS5's new controller. And then Destructoid gave it a 7. Chris Carter wrote, Astrobot has replaced Knack as the cute Sony mascot, and I'm okay with it. Although Astro's Playroom isn't a killer app, booting up your PS5 and playing it for free is a great way to get accustomed to your new shiny toy from multiple angles. Blessing.
Greg,
go off.
What was Knack ever like the cute like mascot that we wanted?
At PlayStation 4 launch, it was there, right?
Yeah,
I agree.
He was there by default. We didn't choose him. I feel like Astrobot, we're kind of choosing him, right? Like, mm-hmm. We like Astrobot, and Sony's obviously
we
choosing him
love
too.
Astrobot.
But yeah, I want more Astrobot. I was very curious to see like what the review scores for this were going to be, because like coming out even at the beginning of our own review. I think I was struggling a little bit of like trying to express like where I kind of sat with it, because I absolutely adore Astro's Playroom, but I just, it comes back to the Spider-Man thing of like, man, this could be so much more. And it's purely from a 2 hour long thing. Like, it's a 2 hour long game / tech demo.
You platinum it 4 hours, according to my PlayStation 5.
And honestly, I might do that. Like, I want more reasons to play Astro's Playroom, so I might actually go back and maybe platinum it. I'll think about it. Sure, but like, I am sitting in the silver of like the PlayStation trophy ranks, and I believe that like we're in the same rank, right? Like, you know, I feel like silver.
I mean, I'm a different tier of silver.
Yeah, but
you barely squeaked into silver.
Who cares about the tiers, though?
You know, I have a different tier image. You know what I mean?
I feel like silver is a great place to be, and so who knows if I really need to get the platinum or not. That said, I kind of this is another one where I'm like, I kind of feel where all the reviews are coming from, right? Like, I don't know how if I was scoring a review, I have no idea how I would score this game, because like, it's right, they're right that it's a tech demo, and like, it is kind of like it's gone in a breeze. At the same time, what's there is fantastic. Like, I cannot wait for people to get their hands on it and play it and experience it, because I love my 2 hours with this thing.
It's another one where I'm way high on it. Like, I'm way more in line, I think, with Sammy at Push Square with the 9. And not to discredit anybody else's, because everybody's saying it's great. Like, I know it's free, number one. So, I mean, if you can't make the argument about your $60 or $70 being spent into it, right? Like, I think it is then the argument of this thing is, we talked about it in the same way in our reviews, right? Where both Spider-Man and Astro left me wanting more, but Spider-Man left me satiated. Astro, I was still hungry for more, and I'm sad that it's over. And even platinuming it and having gotten every one of the artifacts and seen every level and done all the secrets and stuff like that, I want more platforming, which is great. And I say my thing is like, now I'm in this weird thing of like, man, when's that Sackboy code coming through? When am I gonna get to play this Sackboy PlayStation 5 game? Like, I hope that this is pointing to a bright future for Astrobot, that Astrobot gets another platforming game out there. I think, yeah, this is you know, we talk about it in the review, obviously, but you and I started at these different ends of the spectrum where you thought, I think this was going to be a little bit more of a game. I thought it was going to be more of a tech demo. And so as we got brought back to that middle, it exceeded my expectations, where I think it might have fallen below yours. Mm-hmm. And that's well and good, but yeah, pound for pound, what you're doing in it is great. I think as we're all so high right now on PlayStation nostalgia and the excitement of a new generation, this game is the perfect, especially going through and platinuming it, is the perfect, hey, remember where we've been as a brand and look at where we're going in the future thing. I think it's awesome.
Yeah. I hope to see more. I expect to see more.
I have to imagine we're going to see more, right? Like, as we get going through this, yeah. I think I put into title this one, Your PlayStation 5 Questions Answered, and then we're an hour into the show, and I still have multiple stories for you to go. So I think we've answered some of them as we talked about them, but let me just run through some really, really quick ones. Right now, some guy over on Twitter was like, hey, Greg and Blessing, I was wondering if the PS5 can have video cast to them from a phone. It's not something I've seen brought up anywhere. I was wondering if this feature exists. For our embargoes, we weren't allowed to use any of the media stuff because they're still coming in, putting stuff together and apps out there. I have not heard of any way to video cast from your phone to your PlayStation 5. That's what you're asking, right? I was wondering if the PlayStation 5 has video cast to them from a phone. So me taking my phone to it, no. Remote Play, of course, is still in there. I have not tested it out though with PlayStation 5, but Remote Play is back with PlayStation 5. So you assume the same stuff would work for it there. Mike wanted to know, is there any way to turn off the activity cards feature/functionality? No, Blessing, right? We screwed around the best we could with that, but I never saw a way to turn off the activity cards on that. And we were talking in our review of wanting to customize those a bit more.
Yeah, it seems like those are straight up built into the experience. And like, I don't think there's a reason why you'd want to turn it off, really. Like, it's not really distracting anything. It's not like blocking anything or causing any sort of...
I wish I could just customize it more, is all. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I wish I could move things around or like make it so that certain cards would appear towards the front, even though I think like if you use certain cards more, they'll probably like naturally front load, I imagine. But yeah, I wish I could customize that stuff more. But like, again, it doesn't get in the way. Like, when you press your PlayStation button, it is immediately like, all right, this is what you're doing. Do you need game help? Like, do you want to know what your trophies are? Oh, by the way, your friends are playing these games. Do you want to hop into their party randomly? It's stuff like that. And like, I think the thing I'm looking forward to with cards is I think that stuff is probably going to change and evolve and get better in the future, because some of the stuff right now, I'm like, okay, I don't know when I'm going to randomly jump into my friends' parties, but I imagine the less and less people use that feature, the more PlayStation gets that feedback, and they're like, all right, what do we need to replace this with in order to make this more of a useful experience?
Arma Getty B in the Twitch chat says, any PlayStation VR testing done? No, I'm still waiting on my free adapter. So my PlayStation VR still cannot work with my PlayStation 5. So
yeah,
no.
And I forgot to get my adapter. And so there's a link that somebody can put in,
help
chat
you out with. Yeah. go ahead and put it there for Blessing. And then, yeah, but our friend, of course, David from Upload VR has testing up. I saw him tweeting about it and basically being like, load times are a bit better. Otherwise, it's the same. Number 7, there are a bunch of games getting delayed. Let's talk about them, or at least features from games being delayed. We'll start with The Medium. The Medium has officially been delayed to January 28th, 2021. It is citing the COVID-19 situation. Of course, there's also the fact that, I don't know if you know this, there's a giant game called Cyberpunk coming out on the same day that Medium was coming out on. And that moved there, and they're like, you know what, we'll take some extra time and we'll move to January 28th. So look for Medium now, January 28th. Sackboy, A Big Adventure. The game isn't delayed, but the online co-op has been delayed. We've made the difficult decision to delay the full online multiplayer functionality within Sackboy, A Big Adventure. The team has been hard at work to ensure that the online is the best experience it can be for players, and we just need a little more time to get it right. Online multiplayer functionality will instead be coming via a patch by the end of 2020. This patch will also include cross-generation multiplayer, where PS4 and PS5 users can play together, game save transfers from PS4 to PS5. On launch day, you'll still be able to enjoy Sackboy with your household in offline couch co-op party play. Two to four player parties can play through the whole game, including unmissable co-op only levels. So there you go.
I'm gonna make Michael play this with me then.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to.
I was planning to do online play, but I guess. Now I think about it, if I'm going to get a code for this game, probably, then who am I going to play with?
Me. You and me host the PlayStation show together.
Or I can just play with Michael, you know?
Kerbal Space Program 2 has been delayed. I'm reading from James O'Connor at GameSpot. Kerbal Space Program 2, the physics-based Space Explorer sequel, has officially been delayed out of 2021. In a post to the game's official forums, creative director Nate Simpson shared the news that the game, initially delayed because of COVID-19 pandemic, is now further away. Kerbal Space Program 2 will release in 2022 instead of fall 2021. We're working on immersive technical and creative challenge. When we started this project, we've heard time and time again that this community, that quality is paramount, and we feel the same way. So now 2022 for Kerbal Space Program 2. And then
I respect the far out delay.
Hey man, yeah, get way in front of it. You know what I mean? They have a really active community. So yeah, definitely go out there and explain all that to them. Then Control Ultimate Edition for next generation platforms has been delayed as well. Remedy tweeted, an update from the development team, Control Ultimate Edition will arrive on next generation platforms early 2021. We want the final quality of the game to be awesome. And so we need a bit more time to work on it. Thank you for your understanding and patience. Womp womp. Control Ultimate Edition can't get a break.
Not at all. Do you think they're delaying it to like fix the issues that they've had?
I don't know. Yeah, no, I know. I don't know. I think it's just more that it's a crowded time, right? There's so much going on, maybe. And again, you worry about Cyberpunk slipping further and further back out there. Like, what? Yeah, hopefully they come back. Yeah, and they're like, all right, if we figured it out, if you own Control and all the DLC, you'll be able to go get this. But otherwise,
we'll have to see.
Yeah. Number 8, there's hope for Fortnite on iOS. This is Marie DeLisandre over at gamesindustry.biz. Epic Games Fortnite may be able to make a comeback on iOS via NVIDIA's GeForce Now. The BBC reported that NVIDIA developed a version of its cloud gaming service for Apple's browser Safari, which would allow players to have access to Fortnite on iOS, all while circumventing the App Store. At the moment, iOS users can't download games using storefronts other than Apple's, but third-party services running in web browsers are not restricted in any way. NVIDIA hasn't revealed when a version of GeForce Now running on iOS would be launched, but the BBC claimed that announcement is expected before the winter holidays. But as far as Fortnite is concerned, the publication pointed out a possible caveat. Epic's Battle Royale hit might still be excluded from the portfolio of games available on Apple's devices from GeForce Now. So some rumblings there to get you back into playing some Fortnite on your Apple device. And then final story of the day, number 9, Square Enix reports disappointing Avengers sales. Square had its 6-month financials ended September 30th. It put out its whole dossier about it, had an investor's call. In the actual PDF, it says, in the digital entertainment segment, the release of major titles, including Final Fantasy VII Remake and Marvel's Avengers, growth in digital sales of catalog titles, and licensing income that resulted in higher net sales than in the same period of previous fiscal year, as well as a turn of profit for the operating line. All that sounds really good. The numbers are all up when you look at the grid. However, David Gibson, an analyst that attends the Japanese investor meetings and gets to sit in on the Q&As, tweeted this today. Square Enix reported a 6.5 billion yen loss for HD games driven by Marvel's Avengers. Would not say how many sold, but that volumes were 60% of plan. Implies game cost over 100 million to make, but only sold 3 million or so. Ouch. Imran was following all this morning, and I was seeing him do it, and he was nice enough to drop this in there. He added this, it's not clear if the Avengers sale include October, since they were reported as part of the Q&A and not the financial results. So again, they put out these financial results, right, to talk about, hey, these are the end of the 6-month things. That's the one where I read from the very thing in the beginning of like, oh yeah, things are up. Then during the Q&A, they talked a little bit about it, like, oh no, I guess it's a 6.5 billion yen loss on HD games driven by Marvel's Avengers. Like, yeesh.
Ooh, yeah, that does that. I'm not surprised, and I am surprised at the same time. I'm not surprised that it turns out Marvel's Avengers didn't sell that well, because I feel like I'm not seeing many people talk about the game aside from Greg Miller and like a few other people. I feel like it should have sold more though.
Mm-hmm. Like you say that, and you mean continued talk, right? Because Avengers was fucking popping off in the beginning. Everybody was talking about Avengers when it launched.
Yeah, but like a week later, I mean, like
yeah, 100%. No, 100%. You're right. Yeah, in terms of people who stuck around, it's me, Fran, Andrew Goldfarb, and Simon Gardy.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like conversation really dissipated about over Avengers.
Oh, real quick. And Paul Tassi over at Forbes writes about it all the time too.
And I am surprised, because I would have assumed that this game would have sold way more. And I wonder if it's a timing thing. I wonder if this game came out last year on the heels of Endgame, if it would have had a meteoric rise despite its state that it's in. Like, because it, like, the game is playable, and like, for the most part, people like the story, and like, you can have a fun time with it. But the fact that I guess the fact that the game doesn't have the staying power that I think it needed as a games as a service, and probably still could get down the road. I don't know where this thing stands anymore. Like, I don't know what's going to happen with this game, because I would have assumed that it would have been way more successful than it is.
Well, yeah, and that was the thing. I think what's important to call out here, right, is from Dave Gibson's thing here, right, that volumes were 60% of playing. Like, what was their fucking plan? Like, what did they think it was going to sell? Like, what did they think they were going to move on this game? And did they understand what they had in terms of, yeah, it's games as a service. It's not going to, it's coming together, you know, it's not nailing it right now. What are we doing? And then, of course, since launch, it's fallen directly into the pit that when a games as a service gets fucked up, that the pit is, where it's like all their plans and roadmaps are out the fucking window. Everything they said they were going to do, they have not done, right? Like, it seemed like they had such a great plan leading into launch with all the war tables, all the stuff. Here's Kate Bishop. Here's going to be Clint. We have this thing. We're going to go. And yeah, roadmaps changed and everything else, but it's been the, we haven't had a war table since the launch week. Kate Bishop slipped out of October and is now kind of very generally out there, right? They're having the sale right now to try to get people to spend money on the marketplace. And also they're giving out the rewards package. And then it's like, even when you read through it, right, like, they're still talking but not saying anything. We've seen all, this is from their War Table weekly blog number 10 from the 4th, so 2 days ago. We've seen all your comments asking for the next hero, Kate Bishop, new missions to play, new villains to fight, and new places to explore. We're excited to tell you all about it. When the time is right, we appreciate your patience and understanding. And it's like, bruh, the patience and understanding only goes so long. Like, you know what I mean? Like, What you talked about, the secret, the cloning facility that Fran, remember, of course, infamously got to play by accident, not understanding, like, got led into it. And then they talked about that like 2 weeks ago when they put out the big update. Like, it's coming soon. It's still not here. It's like, what the fuck is going on? What is going on? And then again, just have that thing of like, hey, here's what's going on. We stopped working on Kate and Clint to make sure we got all the quality of life things you wanted fixed and yada, yada, yada. Here's what we've done. And like, they're putting up the blogs and they're doing streams and stuff, but it's like, they didn't probably want to happen, or what you would expect. Not, you know, like, they've pushed next gen, they've run into next gen and everything else. Now it's like, meh, whatever.
Yeah, I'm just surprised that it's a game called Marvel's Avengers and like, it's not taking over the world. Like, I kind of get where their high expectations for it would come from.
Sure,
but yeah, they just didn't, in terms of what the product is. I feel like they just didn't deliver. And like, I also feel like timing is weird, where we haven't had a Marvel movie in forever, and I feel like Marvel's zeitgeist is always up, right? Like, everybody always loves Marvel all the time. But when you're talking about the last decade of Marvel's zeitgeist, we're in kind of a come down right now, because we just got the best of the best last year.
But I think, you know, the counter argument to that, we should move on. We've talked Avengers death. There's like 19 kind of funny podcasts about Avengers. But I think that with that, there would have been a hunger for it. Like, if this game would have been fucking superb, like, can you imagine? Like, mm-hmm. Watch what happens next week with Miles, you know, mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, Miles is gonna fucking crush, because that game is superb, and we'll see what happens. Avengers, can it ever make its way back to glory, or when are we gonna get any of these characters? Like, I'm still like, I don't even know, 20 maybe 15 hives away from the platinum that I need to go do. I still enjoy playing Avengers with my friends, but I'm not sitting here telling you it's a perfect game by any stretch of the imagination. And even my fandom of it is like, why are you not giving me reasons to turn this on? I really thought it was going to be like, oh man, next gen's going to come out and I'll have next gen version of it to play. All right, that didn't happen. Well, fuck, I'm still going to have it on backwards compatible. And like, right around next gen launches, we'll have Kate and we'll be getting ready for Clint. Neither of those have happened. All right, well, I'm sure I'll come back for AIM Secret Lab. This thing that might, where the fuck is the AIM Secret Lab? Like, yeah, get out of here. Tab on neck. Blessing.
Greg, isn't that a bad word?
Yeah, it's a curse word. It's a curse word in French. Yeah,
yeah, somebody in Montreal right now is like, what the fuck?
yeah, Quebec loved that one. I'm excited to see all the comments on this, being happy with my Quebecois accent and saying tabanac calice. But those comments are still so far away.
I don't know
if
you can say that word.
If I wanted something more immediate, say, what came to the mom and grop shops? Where would I go?
You'd go to the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Boop. Yeah. Out today, Ord on Switch, Dark Sauce on Xbox One, Speed 3 Grand Prix on PS4, Xbox One, and Switch, Crystal Ornitha on Xbox One and PC, Need for Speed Hot Pursuit Remastered, PS4, Xbox One, and PC, Dirt 5 on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC, Paw Patrol Mighty Pups Save Adventure Bay, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC, Lair of the Clockwork God on PS4, Dead Dungeon on Xbox One, Persephone on Xbox One, World of Solitaire on Switch, Descenders on Switch, Tropico 6 on Switch, Memoranda on Xbox One and Switch, Okana on Extra One on PC, Filmmaker Tycoon on PC, Dismantle on PC, Time to Stop Time on PC, Trail Boss BMX on Switch, Red Rope Don't Fall Behind on Switch, Chess Minimal on Switch, KDA All Out's EP is available right now on all major platforms for streaming, Reigns Beyond is now available on Apple Arcade, Little Big Workshop is now available on Google Stadia. New dates for you. Out of Space is on coming to PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, and the Couch Edition on November 25th. Morbid, The Seven Acolytes is coming out on December 3rd. And then Shenmue 3 coming to PC on Steam November 19th. Blessing.
Greg.
We ask people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and podcast services around the globe. Imran writes in and says, to be clear, while the Seagate card is the only Xbox expansion card available at launch, any hardware manufacturer is free to make their own. So it's proprietary in the way that you can't just buy any old SSD, but in theory, there is competition for it. Good note.
Yeah, but they'll have to pay for like licensing fees, right? Because like you have to imagine that Microsoft owns that design of it. You know what I mean?
Kevin, if you want to fight with Imran, you can call Imran and fight with him. All right.
All right.
Imran, call Kevin right now. Call Kevin right now.
He doesn't have
Imran, call Kevin right now and argue with him.
He does have my number.
The nanobiologist has breaking news. Assassin's Creed announced their launch day patch and file sizes. Xbox Series X/S is about 45 gigs. Xbox One is 44 gigs. PlayStation 5 is 45 gigs. PlayStation 4 is 45 gigs. PC is about 45 gigs. There's that happening, so if you care about that. Don't care about that, Chad. Not at all. Nanobiology asked a question. Does the PlayStation 5 have HDCP? It does.
Somebody gave me the link for the PlayStation VR adapter thing, and you had to enter your PSVR serial number.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's worth the effort for me to go get my serial number.
Oh, blessing.
And so play it on PS4.
You're just calling me because you were told to?
Greg Yeller.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
It has something to do with the you're wrong, I think, if that was actually you. There's no proof.
Okay. That was me, I think.
Okay.
The SD thing.
Yeah. I was just saying, like, there's going to be, like, they're going to have to pay Microsoft for using the design of the, like, whatever the shape is, right? So there's going to be some sort of, like, extra fees. And then that means mass manufacturing of a new design means they're going to have to make new machinery and stuff, and like it'll take a while for the cost to go down. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
All right.
You should tell Greg to be less loud, because literally headphones off on the table next to me still heard him yelling.
Oh, you are live. They can hear you.
Okay, cool. Greg, be less loud.
Cool. All right, I might swing by your house to get that thing that I left there last time.
Oh, my God. Imran, I'll never be quiet. I hope everyone hears me. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily for Friday. Thanks for hanging out with us. Remember, there is all sorts of PlayStation 5 coverage up right now. Kindoffunny.com/PS5. Please go watch those videos. Check them out. And keep your eyes peeled next week, early next week, for all manner of more reviews coming your way, streams coming your way, unboxings coming your way. It just doesn't stop around here. Blessing, why don't you tell us who's hosting next week?
Who is hosting next week? Next week, Monday. I'm doing this off the top of the dome because I can't find the doc. Monday, it's me and Tim. Tuesday, it's me and Imran. Wednesday is Greg and Gary Witta. Thursday is Greg and Tim. And then Friday, it is Greg and me.
We'll see if it holds, ladies and gentlemen. we got a post show to do over on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. But until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.